Welcome back to Bearheart. Hope you enjoyed that quick commercial break. Now let's continue with the show.
Guys, now's not the time to think we got this thing won because we thought we had it won in 2020.
Because the mainstream media is saying that Trump's ahead just for the fact
that the Republicans will stay. That is 100% correct. That is 100%.
The stories are coming out based on the
Republicans will stay home and the Democrats will come out.
Yeah, right.
That's why they're saying that. Yeah. And I'm telling you, this is the most dangerous time as far as being a Republican and wanting the Republican to win the election is right here. That media knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
The Harris Biden administration knows what they're doing.
What do you got?
Absolutely.
Harris is going to have 42.4%
for Harris.
42.
And Trump will have 57.2%.
57 for Trump, right? And that changed. So yesterday when I looked at the one I looked at was the average ratings was 61 for Trump, and then the other number for Harris. So it's changed a little bit, but it's still, so like you said, people can't take those numbers for granted, but I think that's closer than any polls that you've seen out there.
Well, because that's the people gambling.
There you go. Yeah. In Vegas, they're not trying to sell an agenda. They're trying to sell bets, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, they know what's going on.
$1,000 on them bets.
You play those odds right there, that's going to be better than your polls.
But go ahead. Go ahead, Republicans. Sit back on your couch. Don't go vote and see if that freaking Vegas.
But you have people taking advantage of the situations they're in, right? So, like, I've talked to a dozen people this last week going, well, South Carolina's always a lock for Republican.
Exactly.
You know, South Carolina's a lock for Trump, right? But don't get stuck. Don't get stuck in that complacent mindset. Just go vote.
Right? That's right.
Because what's going to take you? So tomorrow ends early voting in South Carolina. So you cannot come back with, oh, I couldn't go vote because I was working.
Who's all voted? Tuesday. Who's all voted? I voted.
But you know what?
It's so Saturday.
50 million people voted already. That's never happened before.
Never.
Never.
I'd like to know who those 50 million voted for. Right? That's what I want to know. Right?
Trump was saying, go vote early.
But I also want to know, are they in the graveyard or not? Because that will tell you whether or not they're Democrats.
Exactly right. And you guys swear to me when I die, don't let me vote Democrat, okay?
Yeah, but that's what it gets me like on these things. And serious on that joke is like when you have more people in a county or in a zone voting than what you have living in that county.
Yeah.
Or alive in that county? Well, it doesn't make sense.
Exactly. I mean,
add up the two numbers from...
That's Chicago politics right there.
But add up the two numbers from the last election.
Yeah.
I had this many people vote for me. I had this many people vote for me. You add up them two numbers. I guarantee you didn't have that many people get up off the couch and go vote.
That's not that many people vote in American elections. Yeah.
There was. I don't know if it was the election of when Tim Scott won down here, or if it was the midterm beforehand, right? But when I looked at it, because a friend of mine was running for office, and at this point I don't remember if it was that one or the one after, but 17%. Only 17% of the registered voters went out and voted.
Yeah. Voted.
Great. Like, where was the rest of you, right? And it's like, if you're, don't sit there and complain after the fact if you end up with somebody you didn't want, you didn't go vote. But there's
100% correct, because I've asked this question a bunch of times to the people I've been talking to, and when they start whining or complaining or whatever, did you vote? I'll turn to them and I'll ask them, you vote? And if they didn't vote, the conversation's over.
End of it.
The conversation. Yeah. Don't whine to me if you're not going to go vote.
Exactly.
You got that right as an American. Yeah. As a God-given right to you, you have the right to vote. If you didn't vote, don't complain.
Yeah. And I think I said this one in Alaska. It was like Joey Jones, it was on Fox News there. He laid out the numbers for the number of NRA members compared to the number of NRA members that are also registered voters was sickening, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You cannot sit there and scream for your Second Amendment rights if
and
you're not willing to go exercise your First Amendment right and go vote.
That's right.
You can't do it.
That's like evangelicals. There's 500,000 in the United States, and their preachers are telling them to stay out of politics. That's incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you can go vote, and I think there's a balance between it, right? Stay out of politics, don't be a politician yourself.
Yeah.
But still go vote.
You're right? Responsible. You are responsible for the actions of your nation.
That's your, if you're born American, if you work for the right to become an American citizen, it's your right, it's your duty to go vote. Absolutely. Right? That's part of what
the only way your politicians that are sitting up there in Washington D.C. are going to know what you want is if you sit there and go vote.
That's right.
Because that's the only time they actually see what you care about.
Yeah.
Because they sure aren't listening to us any other time. They're too busy lining their dadgum pockets.
We talked about that on the morning show. You know what? All of those state representatives need to be brought home. We got the technology. They can zoom in and do their votes. But they need to be in their offices in the state where we can show up with torches and pitchforks every time there's a vote. You know what? You vote the right way or else.
Right.
Well, I tell you what, and giving kudos to the state guys. They don't make squat.
Yeah. Hmm.
All right. It's the U.S. guys.
To be that way.
It's the U.S. guys that are making billions.
But look at
Obama.
It's not
at Obama.
Payroll.
He was a stinking state.
It's not their payroll.
City collector.
No, he was a city.
No, it was that. The word is not councilman. It's the.
Organizer.
No, it's he. That's what
something
it is.
Oh man!
I know exactly what the word is. Yeah. He's a community guy. It's like the not a councilman. Not a community organizer.
But anyway, now he lives in a multi-million dollar mansion on Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah. But it's not the payroll, right? It's everything they get back from the lobbyists, which you have more
there
lobbyists.
You go. That's what I'm
you
saying.
You have more lobbyists than you have congressmen up there.
Right. Get them out of D.C.
They're getting ganged up. But they leave office and they become a lobbyist for somebody else. And they're getting paid.
Right? That's right.
They're getting paid for all this. It's all the residuals that come in, the benefits of being in that role. But that's not the point of it. But the point is they get lost in themselves because of that, right?
Yep. Exactly,
you know, because you have so many that go in like, I'm doing this because I want to do it for the right reasons, right? But then when they get a taste of, this is what Wagyu beef is, right? Or they get a taste of the finer things in life, they get stuck in there and they're going to stay there and they're going to take that money. They don't want to go back to the other lifestyle. But if you have, and this is the one thing, the other thing that kills me is from the other lies at the table, is when Kamala stands up there, somebody who's doing this for himself.
Yeah.
Here we have a president. He's the only politician in history. The only, and he's become a politician, right? I know he says I'm not a politician.
He says it. He's
a politician, all right? He's the only politician in history who's become a politician and has lost money.
Losing money.
He's losing
because
money.
Because of it.
He's giving it away, right?
And his Trump
but somehow this
name
is for him.
Is dying because of it.
Right. They're trying to take him for everything he has up in New York. How much you got in the bank? We're going to take it all. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You wouldn't do that to nobody else.
He just said it the best. And he says, go out there, vote, make the numbers so big that they can't
steal it.
They cannot cheat this election.
Yeah.
Make the numbers so big. Yeah. They cannot cheat this election.
And I think this is that demonstration from where, the government would always tell us that we're the government of the people, right? But we're starting to seal that. No, you're the government. You are the government of the people. You're not letting us make a choice, right? Because the way they control everything. And I've seen some loss in different things, but this is on a whole new scale, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't want him in there because, again, now...
Because people are going to jail.
He wants to drain the swamp.
Because
this time he has his hand on the plug and knows what to do.
But he knows what to do, but he's not worried about getting reelected on the next government.
No, exactly.
Right? You don't have to carry the next one.
He surrounded himself with idiots.
Well, he had to, you got to carry your 4 years so you can carry on and finish what you started, right?
I just listened to him, and then
you drain that swamp.
The Sean Hannity interview with him, and he said, before, I went to Washington, D.C., and I didn't know anybody.
Exactly.
He said, now I can go to Washington, D.C., and I know everybody.
Yep.
He says, I know the ones that are
on the cork, and they all know it. And half of them know they're going to jail if he gets elected.
But, and I tell you, like, one of those things with his upcoming election is, like, the other side, right, is trying to, they're trying to use against him the fact of, bringing in Elon Musk and these other people. It's like, no, that's brilliant, right? Because let's bring in these people who have been successful business owners.
Exactly.
Because you cannot run a successful business without having the ability to negotiate, deal with people, manage numbers, manage people. But when you tell me, here's Elon Musk, and he's like, and his mother even comes out and said, well, he said he could shave $2 trillion from the budget, but I think he's just being modest. His mother says this, right? His mother said it, right? His mother is a lifetime Democrat. Now she's rolled over, and she's going to vote Republican because, again, and her words were, it was it's become a, the malicious party, right? The Democrat Party has become malicious, right? But honestly, we've all...
W-V-F-F-Y.
But we've all worked for the government, right? Whether it's federal government, working for them as a contractor, whatever it might be, or both in many cases... But you see on the other side how much wasteful spending is going on. Yeah. And when you tell me Elon Musk, who just shaved off like 73% of, Twitter. Shaved off 73% of Twitter, now X, but it's still a successful company.
Yes.
You want to bring
more
him
successful
in.
Successful than ever.
You want to bring him in and make him, you know, an efficiency manager, whatever you want to call it, and shave off what we don't need. Absolutely. Yeah. Because like Reagan said, Reagan brought in years ago, we have started X, and I forget how many other agencies and departments that he claimed that we started, but we've never shut down one. Hopefully, in the results of this election, we come and we start shutting some down.
Part
the redundant
gone.
Agencies.
CIA cut in a million pieces and can never.
I think for those departments, you still need to have something, right? But it's a fraction of what you had. Department of Education, okay, from the federal government, I need six people sitting here dispersing the money out to the states.
Let the states run it.
CIA scares me. How do you cut off a dragon with 12 heads?
You don't know how many heads this has is the problem. Right?
Maybe 100 heads.
Yeah. FBI. Holy crap.
That one doesn't scare me as bad as the CIA. It's causing all of this stuff in the media right now. I think they're behind it all.
But there's some good things they do, too. Right? So it's a good with bad. But here's and that's the issue, right? And that's one of those topics, right? Whether it's the FBI, the CIA, or some of these other three-letter agencies that are out there is... We can make our assumptions of them from this side here, and this is why I go back to one thing, is until you're the man in the seat behind the desk that has all the information, we on our side, we don't have enough information to make the right decision, to make the claim that you just stated, right?
And
you shouldn't have it. I honestly believe that in some cases you probably shouldn't have it, right?
A couple months after John F. Kennedy said, there's a power behind this government, and before I leave office, I will... bring it to the forefront. Yeah. He died.
Right.
The CIA did it. I know he did. I know they did. And we'll never know. Because the next president doesn't have that dark clearance to find out.
But how
do you kill a dragon like that?
You know. I mean, because you don't know where the roots are at, right? You don't know where they're at. But again, at the same time, it's like we don't know. Obviously, killing Kennedy is not worth any trade-off whatsoever, right? But we don't know. You only hear about the bad, right? Yeah. You never hear about the good things that are going on. And that's why when you walk into the building, you see stars. You never see names, right? Yeah. These were heroes. They did good things, but there's no names up there.
Right.
There's certain things, I do believe, and some people disagree with me, that the rest of the world, the rest of the U.S. population probably shouldn't know. But my faith is in the fact that and it was probably it was right in the beginning, but it has gotten skewed, and it's been manipulated to different factors, right? Yeah. But it's like, sometimes we just need a problem to go away, and nobody wants to answer the question. Ask the question or answer, right? Yep. Just let the problem go away. And there's people out there that can do that. There's agencies that can do that. And sometimes I'm fearful that we're not doing it the way we should, right? Because we could end other things much quicker, right?
Yep.
Look at that and go, okay, that's not right. But if you go back and there was one of the very few books I read was A Flag, A Father, and His Son.
Very
few books.
Yes.
I'm not much of a reader, right? But the whole story that behind that was the gentleman who trained the individuals that were supposed to fly the Enola Gay and everything else and drop the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, right? And his job was to train them. Right? Eventually, he flew the mission. First mission himself, and he did it because even though he trained him, he still wanted to do it. But they asked him the question, says, knowing how many people that killed and the results of that, those bombs being dropped, would you do it again? And his answer was absolutely.
Absolutely.
And there were some people from a certain generation were taken aback.
Yeah.
Like, how could you kill so many people?
Yeah.
But they weren't thinking about all the other families that said, thank you, Because you saved my son, you saved my father, you saved my
they forgot how many generations of lives.
Exactly.
How many people would have died had that not happened?
Right.
That brought an instant end to the war.
And so, what did you say, 125,000 American soldiers would have died?
Would have, at a minimum.
Japan?
Right, at a minimum. Yeah. But if you can take something like that.
That's 125,000 Americans, but how many Japanese? Okay, yes, boom, the bomb hit.
It knocked out a bunch of Japanese.
But if they had kept fighting, they would have lost just as many in the conflict.
They fight wars on attrition, right? Everybody's enlisted. Everybody pushes forward straight line. Mm-hmm. If you're three lines back, you might make it through.
Right. I mean, was it terrible? Yes, it was terrible. But World War II was terrible. I mean, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It was terrible. Now, stop. Let's go back to a comment you were making earlier.
On who?
When we're out at the little VIP bar.
Yeah. It's been a while.
It has been a while. But you were talking about 20, 30 acres.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
So, that no, was okay. So
I liked it. You guys I liked it because I'll tell you what. That's the first time.
Brandon's way of dealing with the homeless. Yeah.
So now this was and thanks.
No,
guys.
I liked
So that's the first time I shared that story with anybody outside my household.
Well, I'm here to put it on air.
So
right
the point was this. Yeah. And there's some struggles.
I'm just a good sidekick. That's all. Just a good sidekick.
Appreciate it, buddy.
That's good. You need some more whiskey?
No, I'm fine.
So the point is this. Number one is some homeless are there because they put themselves there, right? And you're not going to get them out of it. They're content with it. They want to be there. And I honestly believe, and I've thought about this, what you're asking here for a very long period of time, because I do want to do something, number one, to help our veterans.
Veterans.
Right. And I understand.
100%.
I have a friend of mine down here in Ridgeland who started OPFOB.
Yep.
For veterans coming home
awesome,
and having
awesome
struggles.
Cause.
And fighting with their internal battles, right? We've lost a number of friends through that career in the military and through careers that followed later on in the contracting realm. And he's done a wonderful job at helping a lot of people. Unfortunately, we still lose a lot of them. And whether it's to suicide or we just lose them to addiction, homelessness, you know, which often follows the addiction problem.
Yep.
And we need to get them at some point.
Mental welfare.
And at some point, when we can find those that are willing to help themselves and make that change, and this is where the idea comes in, that is if you want to make a change and grow and restart, and I know there's programs down here in Charleston that do some things, but my concept was this, is take a plot of land, like you said, 20, 30 acres, whatever it might be, and maybe you can even start smaller than that, and this is for you primarily for homeless veterans. There's a lot of them out there. There's a lot that are coming on that verge of it, and some that just need a help, a kickstart, you know, reboost them, reinvigorate them. And so in this scenario is we're not giving you anything, right? We're going to bring you back in. You tell me what your role was in whatever service you were in. If you were a logistician, if you're a warfighter, you were a leader, right? We can find a role for you, right? If you were, you know, just 0311.
In other words, what your past training was
right.
in.
Where can we bring that into a role into this right here? So we start out with raw land, right? And as you come into this program, and it's a program where there's no drugs, there's no alcohol, none of this stuff is allowed, right? This is rehab. This is everything.
In that program.
Why would you say that? He's in the advanced program where everything's controlled, right?
Well, maybe you, but I don't do drugs and all that.
And honestly, it's where with these things are the issue, right? So drugs in most cases are going to be an issue, right?
Yep.
And some will argue, well, weed's not an issue. You can get it here, get it there. It's an issue, man, because it takes away every bit of drive you have to go do something productive other than turning that wall into another bong, right? You can get creative, but it does take away from your drive to go do things, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm okay still with if you have everything's under control, you have one or two beers at the end of the day, whatever, we do the same thing, right? And we're still functional. But it's how do you control that environment? So that's to say you have people there. I have a nutritionist. We have, you know, we bring in a mental health specialist. And hopefully we can find some that will bring in experiences of their own. Because I've worked with guys in the past that were, they were enlisted, they become pastors in the service. Yep. Later they became mental health physicians, right? So we bring in people to help with that aspect, to help you fight those demons internal in your own mind. But at the same point is we're going to give you back purpose, right? And that's what my buddy has done down here originally, task and purpose, right? We give you task and purpose. But here we've started out with that raw land. I want to bring in, okay, we're going to go through funding, whatever we find those programs to get it started. Bring in these kits, right? So you're going to go build a house. All right, you're going to go work this foundation. You're going to build this foundation. So these people are building their individual homes, which later other people will occupy, but everything has a role. So that property, that home, that veteran's location is fully self-built, so fully self-maintained. The logisticians bringing in the equipment, bringing in the food, cooking the food, the dining hall, all that stuff is, it's a town within a town. We're taking care of each other. At that time, you're rebuilding your resume. After a two-year program, 3 years based on the individual, now you have a resume built. And we're not talking that you were at this rehab facility doing this. No, it's no. You worked for this company. Because right. The day that you show up, you start receiving a W-2.
Right.
Now there's costs associated with the housing provided and everything else. We bring them back. But now you've got a legitimate income for 2 or 3 years, right? You've got a job. You're building a resume. And our goal is to launch you from here out into a job. It's a job placement program. We're bringing you out there to your success over two now, or 3 years.
Yeah, and then, during this time, you can pitch your tent or whatever.
You're building
your
home.
Housing.
You're
I know, but the
home.
House is not built yet.
Right.
So
you
have a place to stay, whether it's the old canvas,
we're gonna put up,
army
put up
tents
sea
or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, sea huts, right? The old green canvas sea huts. We'll go get those things.
Exactly.
So everybody,
you're
so
not
you're
gonna
bringing
be there
because
no place to go at the end of
the
day.
What's
the
one thing you missed?
Place to go.
The biggest thing lost after you left the military. What is that?
Place to stay. I had a place to stay.
Yeah.
Camaraderie,
right?
Yeah.
The biggest thing is, so when you go back into battle, right, this time the battle is for restarting your lives, right? When we go into battle with somebody, we go into warfare, we go into a combat zone, that's the biggest camaraderie we've built with anybody else in life. Because at this point, my life is in your hands, yours is in mine.
That's right.
We're doing that same thing. We're going to come back here, and we're going to rebuild this. And so we start out, and we're going to build this place. Right. Right now, we're staying in a sea hut, which we put together,
right.
And we're all working together. Right. So again, we've refound that camaraderie. We're rebuilding our lives, and now we got a success behind there because every day needs to be a success.
Exactly.
I come in today and I start day one. I just met a new friend. This is going to be a good friend. We're going to go from here, and tomorrow after we've done putting up this tent, we're going to start building the chow hall.
Right.
Gear's coming in tomorrow. We're going to start
that was
setting
foundations.
We're
going to
start setting foundations. We're going to run electricity because we got electricians coming in here. And as these people come in, we develop this location, right? And then after all that thing gets developed and everybody else, we're going to bring people into that area, right? And hey, your turn to come in. There's still a job for you. It's built, but here's a job for you. But now I'm going to take two or three guys that really led on that program. I'm going to move them down to another location, and we're going to start this again.
Yep.
And it's just going to be a chain reaction across the U.S. And again, that's my goal. I'd like to see something happen, right? But you have to be selective in who comes in there. And it's unfortunate to say, but
right.
Because you have a lot of people that want that handout, they don't want to work for it. But there's
I can
so many
see
people
that working, and then the weekend comes, and then chaos.
There you go.
Goes
there you go.
Crazy.
And that's where it has to be. You have to bring back some of that military rule where it's like, hey. You screwed up? Hey, here's your papers, right?
Because that's where I'm thinking. Because on the weekends in the military, when I was in the Army, chaos. I'd down at the snack bar, chaos.
Chaos. You're not in prison. You're free to go do what you want. But understand, if you go do that and it comes back and it hinders the rest of this team, because that's what we're doing. We're a team.
Yeah.
We're back to platoon level, battalion level, whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
Company level, and we're building this facility. This is ours. This is our home. If you break from that team, you're gone. That's
almost,
it.
Almost have drill sergeants watching over it.
Yeah. But in a support, and you have to, and I don't want to say in that kind of hard, right? Because some of us still need that dude going, hey, you screwed up, right? Not going, you made a mistake this time.
Yeah.
No, dude, that doesn't work. For the generation that we're talking about that's missing these things, right?
I agree. But in hearing what Dave's saying, hearing what you're saying, I think there needs to be levels, okay? Mm-hmm. There are certain people that have to have more supervision,
right.
More constructive criticism than others. There's others that can go out on the weekend and have a great time. Go out and have a good time. But we report back here on Monday at 8 o'clock. And then there's others that just cannot handle that. And those people that cannot handle that, whether it's they still need their psychiatrist and or they still need supervision, then that's fine. Let's help with that. And the ones that cannot come into the into those ramifications or those guidelines, then there's a certain point that you've got to weed out.
Here's the ones that are not going to comply. That's why I said about having part of that control, and I don't want to use that as a bad word, to control, but it is, because there's an unfortunate level of people that are in their situation because they put themselves there and they don't yet. They haven't crossed that threshold going to, I need to fix my life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. They haven't hit hard enough.
I want those people, or maybe they're on the verge, and maybe it just takes bringing them back into the team and back into the unit, right? You bring back that mentality. Because it is a hard transition for a lot of people going from military life. And I don't know what it is today. Like, I've been out for a while, right? But I know when I got out, and this is what I'm talking about, a lot of those people are in my age group shortly thereafter, and a little bit further ahead as well, that are having these issues. But when you get on, that transition to military life or to civilian life is difficult. It's difficult, but it is.
Because I can tell you just from my career, right? I was Navy on a minesweeper. We were gone all the freaking time, right? I got married 1 week before I got out, right? Got married, got out of the Navy, boom. Now what? I mean, I had 3 square meals a day. I had a cot to sleep in. I had a ship to work on. I had blah, 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 blah. You know, and I had people telling me every day of every hour of that day what to do. When I got out, I had to realize, holy crud, I'm on my own.
Yeah.
What did they teach me? Oh, I need to be productive at least 8 hours a day. I need to go home and be responsible.
I'll take even deeper on one.
That was hard. That was tough.
What year did you go in?
85.
But I'll take you one, like, to another level. And I've heard this similar situation from a number of people. And just recently, this last week here, met somebody and they had concern. And it's like, okay, here's an individual that wants to go into this career field, which the career field is basically, you know, it's the gunfighter career field, right? It's like going in the Marine Corps and being a grunt. 0311, boom, right? But then they get concerned with, okay, they went in and they fought battles, right? And that's where they're stuck at. It says, what do I do with that skill set when I come out, right?
That's tough.
But what they're missing is, there's not a whole lot of jobs out here where you need to go assault through the objective and start freaking, blasting people.
Yeah.
I get that, right?
Yeah.
But they're missing the other pieces, right? Yeah, you did that, but you did it for 20 years, right? In doing so, the leadership and management skills you learned, you forgot about those pieces because you were focused on the warfighting, but you don't know what you actually know, right? Yep. A lot of times, we don't know what we don't know. Like, meaning, I don't know that this information was higher.
Yeah.
In this case here, these guys don't know the information that's already in their heads, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Here I have an individual that, you got out as a gunnery sergeant, as a master sergeant, master guns. And you said, well, I've only been a warfighter my entire life. I don't know what to do in the civilian world. It's like,
right.
How many people have you managed? How many war battle plans have you put together, right?
Yeah.
Because if you take, and this has been used, and it's there's some of the success in some of these guys, the SEALs that are writing books, is like they basically take the war planning process and applied it to, and their style is a little bit different than Marine Corps.
Yeah.
But if you take the Marine Corps war planning process, you can apply that to any business model anywhere on getting a job done.
Yep.
You tell me what your job is, what you're trying to do. I'll take that Marine Corps war planning process, right? Or even the R2PT, which was a rapid response planning process that we had at one point we used.
And
how do we respond back to it and get the job done?
And when did you go in?
It was 96 to 2006.
Because I signed up in 84.
Yeah.
And the Army was in shambles after Vietnam.
My cousin was in during that. It was a hot mess.
Discipline was nothing. When I first went in, after I got out of training, somebody knocked on my door one day and said, you know we have PT at 6 in the morning, right?
It's at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, and I was so disillusioned. I wanted to be a soldier. Yeah. And I went in there, and I didn't even shave. I mean, it was unbelievable. I don't know how the Navy was. You were in the same time.
Yeah.
But the Army was in shambles, man.
Navy and wasn't the same way. I was fortunately, I was on a small ship, and so there was still very much control.
Yeah.
You had to fall into quarters. You had to pass inspection, so forth like that.
Well, the stigma of the Army is that there's such a huge number of individuals, right? Yeah. Here we are, Marine Corps running 165,000, 175,000 people. Navy wasn't far off from that. And then you got the Army running over 500,000, right? It was huge. It's such a large monster. It's hard to maintain that small unit leadership.
It was horrible. Now, 2 years later, the Reagan kick kicked in.
Changed everything.
And this guy showed up one day.
Broke your world, didn't he? Crushed it.
Although I wanted to be a soldier, I was used to being like stripes. We were like stripes.
Like a lazy soldier. Oh, yeah.
And we called him Brass Balls Cunningham. Sergeant Cunningham. Brass Balls Cunningham. Because, he made my world horrible.
Right.
He turned it back on. But good for him.
As an instance, all right, I served 4 years, got out, and I thought, hey, I know what I'm doing. I'm an E5.
Yeah.
Electrician's mate, I should be able to go make some jack out in the civilian world. When I got out in the civilian world, you know what? I got smacked down so hard it wasn't even funny. I came out making $5 an hour as an electrician's helper, and I knew more than what half the supervisors that were running the jobs out there. Yeah. But because mine was marine electricity and theirs was civilian electricity, I didn't know squat.
You should have gone down the port.
So, I mean, I had to start all over. Yeah. Now, guess what? Here's the big difference. Here's the big difference. I could have said, F this, and got me an attitude and become a homeless vet. Yeah.
You could have.
Yeah.
Or I can say, okay, fine, I'm going to buckle down, and I'm going to work hard and show everybody that I can, because of my training, because of my leadership training, that I can make it. Mm. And guess what? I did that, I climbed the ladder, and I became the top of the company that I was working for.
There you go.
And I think
everybody has that opportunity. And if you don't take advantage of it, then go be a homeless SOB. Yeah, but dadgum it, you've got the same opportunity everybody else has.
That's exactly right. You do. We got 3 more minutes.
Yeah, that's what that point of it is. Like go into the military, veteran. You have different veterans, different areas, and everything else. But the one thing that you learn more than anything, right, in that is you learn about yourself, right?
Yep.
And in that time frame is you decide whether you're going to be a fighter and push forward, or you're going to say, screw this, the world's against me, right? Yeah. And that's the worst thing that you can do. If you say, screw all this, the world's against me, then you're never going to go nowhere.
Exactly.
Right. If you run into a problem, run into an issue somewhere, you know, it's not screw this. It's like, I'm going to show you. I'm going to continue to fight.
What are you doing tomorrow?
And you'll never, you never say no, right? Just always push forward. If you get told no one way, find another direction. Right. You find another attack point. You go through and you find another solution.
Yeah. You improvise. You overcome. Yeah.
Yeah. You. Marines, right? Improvise, adapt, and overcome.
There you go. Clint
Eastwood said it, right?
Yeah.
It was from Marine Corps, and it was from freaking, what was the movie?
Heartbreak Ridge.
Yeah. But that was Marine Corps. Be advised, I'm tired, mean, and nasty, and I pissed napalm. Yeah. If you want to pop that cherry skin, you ain't got to grease them so hard, Joey. Yeah, I've seen the movie once or twice.
Yeah. I know that we're about to wrap up, and I just, again, it is Friday night. We got Saturday, last day of early voting. Do your civic duty. Right. You have the God-given gift of being living in America that has freedom of choice.
You have choice.
So if you want to vote Democrat, go vote Democrat. But if you want to vote Republican, go vote Republican, and we need you to vote Republican.
And for God's sakes, either side, do an educated vote.
Exactly.
Don't just listen to one news network. Don't just listen to Uncle, whoever it might be, right? Do yourself a favor. Educated vote. pull down your sample ballot. Because there's other things being voted on this ticket too, right? Yeah. Pull down your sample ballot, read them this week, and if you're not going to go vote tomorrow, if you're not prepared, and then go vote on Tuesday. Right, but pull down those things and look at it and really look at. Look at your life, look at your family, look at your children.
But, I mean, look at it as far as the easiest way I know of saying it that is being said is look at how you were living
4 years
ago and how you're living now.
That's right.
I think that started with Reagan.
I mean,
are you better today than what you were 4 years ago?
There you go. Exactly. That's nothing new, guys. Yeah. That is true fact. Are you living better today than you were then?
Keep in mind that the person that's trying to sell you that they can make it better for you has already been there for 3.5 years.
That's exactly right. And if you're Democrat, please only vote once. Signing off from WVFF
Live. WVFF Live.
Be seeing you Tuesday.
Tuesday.
That's all for today's episode of The Bearheart Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned for more awesome content coming your way soon here on WVFF 97.7 FM, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.